strongest body and the most awesome emotional and spiritual or physical body, whatever it is, eventually you are going to wear down. Okay, all of us are going to wear down, and we're going to find ourselves in a position of hopelessness. So what do we do in that situation? That's the question, right? Have anyone seen this movie before? Because it gives a great analogy of what we're going to talk about this morning. So this movie is called Castaway. If you've never watched it, go watch it on Netflix today. It's a great movie. That guy there who looks like a caveman, he's Tom Hanks, the actor. And so the whole idea of this movie is that Tom Hanks is a FedEx employee, and he's on this plane on delivery. But the plane is just overwhelmed by a storm. And so during this storm, the plane actually crashes. And so it crashes in the ocean, and when Tom Hanks wakes up, he finds himself on a deserted island. And the first half of the movie is actually quite hopeful. What he does is he's looking for shelter, he's building things, right? He's exploring, he's finding all these FedEx boxes that are being washed up on the shore, and so he's opening them up and using all these gadgets to survive. And so the first half of the movie is actually very hopeful. We see this guy who says, I'm going to make it, I'm going to survive, I'm going to do all I can to just be alive. But as it starts progressing to the second half of the movie, it starts taking a downturn. All right. What you see here, he's yelling at a volleyball. He's starting to have this imaginary friend called Wilson. So that, like, the next half of the movie is him screaming and yelling and having crazy conversations with a ball called Wilson. And so loneliness has kind of driven him a little bit psychotic. He's struggling with a lot of worries. He's struggling with the idea of, you know, what if I don't ever get rescued? He gets into this place of hopelessness. In fact, if you watch the movie kind of towards the end, he actually contemplates committing suicide because he's thinking, I'm never going to get rescued. I'm in a hopeless situation. Things aren't getting better. And so he actually thinks about committing suicide. And the movie gets really depressing after that. And so, you know, as you're watching this movie, no matter how strong you are, no matter how positive thinker you are, no matter how hopeful you are, at some point, if you're in that storm long enough, if you're on a deserted island long enough, you will break down. And so every one of us can relate to this, right? There are things, I don't know what's going on in your life right now, where you might be about to walk into that situation and you see it coming and you're just bracing yourself because you don't know how you're going to be able to handle it. You might be in the middle of one right now and you see no light at the end of this tunnel and you're like Tom Hanks thinking, man, I should just give up. Or you're about to leave one and you're just kind of going, I'm glad that's over with. But you know, just round the corner, another one's coming. And so every single one of us sitting here, myself included, we're going to go through issues in life, challenges. And so the big question I think we want to ask this morning is, does knowing Jesus, does being a Christian, does being a child of God make any difference in how we go through our life? Does having Christ in our life give us hope, or is it just like anyone else who's not a Christian, who's not religious? What kind of life does a life centered in Christ do? I think that's the big question we want to ask, right? Because Scripture tells us that when Christ is part of our life, when we make our life and we revolve it around Jesus Christ, it ought to look different. How we handle tough situations, how we face the storm, how we look at hopeless situation ought to be very, very different. And that's why I think the whole theme of VBS this year is really, really good. Because if you look at media right now, it's actually a very depressing place. In fact, just a couple weeks ago, I think Anthony Bourdain, Kate Spade, you know, a couple of these high-profile celebrities actually ended their lives because they just don't want to deal with life anymore. So they're in this hopeless situation, and to them, really the only solution. This is not working. I just leave this world. But as a Christian, should that be our ultimate destination? Like, could we ever find ourselves in a situation where we're just giving up hope? And I would tell you this morning that Christ Jesus says that's not the case for Christians. If Christ is in your life, you will always, always have hope. Even when you find yourself in hopeless situations, even when people around you are finding it to be hopeless, even when people around you are... Jesus is the hope. All right. Hey, Jalin. I'm just going to use the... I don't get to walk around now or do like crazy dance moves. All right. So that's why I said, you know, this VBS theme this year is so important. And some of us, I think I actually laughed it off. I'm thinking, what would kids, like, how could they relate? These are like four-year-old kids to fifth grade children. I'm thinking to myself, how would these kids ever relate to loneliness and worry and struggle and feeling powerlessness, right? I actually thought it was dumb and way too abstract for little children. But I think I'm very, very wrong that children of all ages, especially going into adulthood, deal with this kind of problems. And if we can teach our children early on about the hope that we have in Christ, when they get to middle school, when they get to high school, when they get to college, when they have to deal with adult issues, then they know that there's always hope, even when they feel it's hopeless. And so let me read out the motto of VBS out to you, because I think it's so important. It says, venture into an uncharted island where kids are rescued by Jesus. Anchor kids in the truth that Jesus carries them through every storm in life. They'll learn to hold on to God's promises when they're lonely, they worry, they struggle, do wrong, and feel powerless. And that really is the key, I think, for someone who is in Christ and someone who's not in Christ. Because when you are in Christ, you always know there is a rescuer. And that rescuer is Jesus Christ. No matter how hopeless you feel your situation is like. And so what I'd like to do today is actually go through a passage in Scripture in the book of Acts. In Acts 27, there's actually a narrative where Apostle Paul is going through an actual storm, and he actually literally gets shipwrecked. And so I think if we look at this story and say, all right, how does Christ, how does this whole rescuing thing works, especially when you're in a situation that is just very dire? And what do you know? Scripture has a passage for us about this exact same situation. And so if you will turn your Bible to Acts chapter 27, we're going to look at this. And remember, at the back of your mind, you ought to be thinking, how does knowing Christ make a difference in my life? Especially on those rough, tough days where I just don't see any light. It ought to make a huge difference. Acts 27, verse 20, we're going to read through 25. And this particular passage here talks about the storm, okay? So I want us to pay attention to the hopelessness of these men. They've pretty much given up all hope. And then I want to see, as they're going through the storm, how Paul, who knows Jesus, makes a huge difference in how these men start looking at their hopeless situation. Okay, Acts 27, verse 20. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. So this is Apostle Paul. We're told the context here is that he's on a ship going from Jerusalem to Rome, where he's supposed to appeal to Caesar. And on this ship, there's 276 soldiers, sailors, and prisoners, okay? And it tells us here in verse 20, it says, they haven't seen the star or sun for many, many days. The storm is raging, and they've given all hope, given up all hope of being rescued. These 200-some men, they've quit. They've stopped believing. They've given up hope that
they would ever be rescued. They've resigned their fate to saying, all right, I'm screwed. This is it. There is no light out of this. This is my last day. And then God comes and works in a powerful way. Look in verse 21. It says, after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail to Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. This is one of those, hey, I told you so moment, right? Paul looks at them and said, I told you so. I told you not to do this. But you didn't listen to me anyway. We have a lot of those moments in our family. Told you not to do it. Why did you do it? It's your own bad decision that caused you to be in this spot in the first place. If you had only listened to wise counsel, you wouldn't have found yourself in this position. But then Paul didn't just point his finger at them and judge them and say, I told you so. This is where the hope comes in. Verse 22. This is Paul continuing to say, he says, but now I urge you to keep up your courage because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And so the angel is saying, Paul, I got something greater for you. You will not go down in this ship right now. I'm going to save you. And then pay attention. It says, God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. Not only is God gracious enough to save Paul and say, I'm going to keep you alive till you stand before Caesar. God tells Paul, he says, all these other guys, all 276 of them, who don't even know who I am, I'm going to give them my grace. I'm going to keep them alive. I'm going to show them this powerful God who will rescue you. Verse 25, so keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. This is amazing to me that when all hope has been lost, when they've quit believing that any possible hope can even shine through, God shows up in this powerful way to Paul and uses Paul to say, Paul, I gave you this promise, and my promise is that you will stand before Caesar and tell him the gospel. And not only am I going to do that, I'm going to save all the people around you. And this is a huge biblical principle here. God save each one of us that we may be light to others around us, that we may save them through God. Then look at this. Even though Paul tells them this miracle, they don't believe him. So let's read from verse 27 through the end. It says, on the 14th night, so Paul talked about this, they heard him, 2 weeks later, nothing has happened yet. It says, on the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea. When about midnight, the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took sounding again and found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. All right, check this out. This is how much faith they had. Verse 30. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldier, unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. So some of these men, the sailors, they're saying, Paul, I'm not listening to you, right? I'm not going to hang on to the promise of God. I'm going to do it my way, and my way is I'm going to secretly get on the lifeboat and just drift away without anyone knowing. And Paul caught them and said, you can't do this because the moment you do that, you're going to die. And so Paul brings them back into the ship, and then what do they do? They cut the ropes so that the lifeboat drifts away. So they have no lifeboat now. They're stuck. They're all stuck on the ship. So they lost hope. Keep on going with me. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, you have been in constant suspense and had gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from your head. After he said this, he took bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board, and when they'd eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. What is Paul thinking? They were starving, they weren't eating, and now Paul says, just throw them all out into the sea, because God is going to save us, and not a single one of you are going to lose hair from your head. Man, Paul is really challenging the people's faith right now, right? They're in a desperate situation. Now, not only do they not have a lifeboat, now they have no food. So these men, they were about ready to give up. Look at verse 39. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach. When they decided to run the ship aground, if they could, cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea, and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow struck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. All right, check this out. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. And so these soldiers says, I'm not going to listen to you, Paul. I'm just going to kill all these people just in case they run away and I get in trouble for losing prisoners. So all these people were about to get killed. Another challenge that's thrown in front of Paul. No lifeboat, no food, about to get killed by soldiers. Verse 43, but the centurions wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks and other pieces of the ship. In this way, and listen to this, everyone reached land safely. Man, if you were a soldier or a sailor or a prisoner and you just went through these 27 verses, there is no way you would have thought you would be getting on land safely. Right? It seemed like a really hopeless situation. But I think the lesson that we get from here is that as Christians, our reaction to hopelessness is very different from someone who's not a Christian. The normal reaction of just about anyone is they're going to give up. They're going to make bad decisions, and we see this happening. They're going to stop listening to wise counsel. They're going to start doing irrational things. They're going to try to run away. They're going to try to end their lives or the lives of others. Like, that's normal human behavior. But as a Christian, look at how Paul got through this tough situation. Right? He hung on to the promise of God that was given 2-3 weeks before. And within those 2-3 weeks, it got worse before they were safe. And so the promises of God is what differentiates a Christian from not a Christian. The promises of God says that he is for us, not against us. The promises of God says keep our eyes on the cross and on Jesus and not on our circumstances. The promise of God says give thanksgiving even when you're in the middle of a storm and you are shipwrecked, because the promise of God will get you safely to land. And that's what Christ did for us, right? We look around us, it's a shipwreck everywhere, right? Not just our lives, but the culture. Look at the political environment. It is a shipwreck. And the gospel of Jesus Christ says, God made us good. We're all broken because of sin. But Christ Jesus came to rescue us. That even though we're going through life right now and it just seems to get worse and worse, but the promise of God is that I will walk with you through the storm. And the promise of God is at the end of the day, when Christ comes again, we will all land safely in the new heaven and new earth. Right, that's how a Christian gets through life. We look at the circumstance right now of how God is walking with us, and we look to the future when Christ comes again. And so that's why I am a huge believer of what was being taught.